The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Good morning. I would like to call this meeting to order. And before we begin, I would just pass along a friendly reminder, if you have cell phones with you, to put them on silent before we begin. And I would like, we have a new committee after the recent election. I'd like to give everybody a chance to introduce themselves, beginning with Mr. McGuire.
My name is Brendan McGuire. I'm from Halifax Atlantic.
Suzanne Lonas-Croft, Lunenburg.
Bill Horn, Waverly Fall River, Beaver Bank.
Joachim Stroink, Halifax, Chibucto.
Ian Rankin, Timberley Prospect.
Maureen McDonald, Halifax, Needham.
Dave Wilson, Sackville, Cobequid.
And I'm Alan McMaster, MLA for Inverness and chair of the committee. We also have the Auditor General and staff with us today, and would like to give them a chance to introduce themselves.
Al Horgan, Deputy Auditor General.
Jacques Lapointe, Auditor General.
Darlene Henry, Committee Clerk.
Thank you. This is the first meeting of the committee, and by way of background, we do meet, I think, traditionally about 35 times a year. It is the most active committee of the legislature. It is, I think, a very important committee. We look at past government expenditure. I believe that its true purpose is to ensure that government is running as good as it can be. I know any time I've sat on the committee previous to the recent election, and I know any time that I've been on the committee, I've always asked questions with an intent to improve things. And I know traditionally there's also, and I guess there's still a belief that sometimes the committee can be used to attack the government. But I think ultimately we're all here to try to make things better at the end of the day and encourage all members to keep that in mind. If we're asking questions, there's reasons for it. Oftentimes we may have constituents who drive some of the questions that happen here at Public Accounts. And who better than they to understand how government is affecting them and to understand if government is operating as well as it can be to serve them. So the meetings are televised, and as you'll note, there is a little a red light that comes up on your mic. Anytime you speak, make sure the light is on. And I will always recognize you to trigger that light to come on, because if the light is not on, they can't capture what you're saying, and we want to make sure everyone has a chance to hear what you have to say. Each member was sent an organizational briefing package electronically by email outlining the mandate of the committee and an overview of the committee's offices and other information that you may find useful. The support staff to the committee is present at almost all of the meetings. Mr. LaPointe, the Auditor General, Mr. Hebb, who is the Chief Legislative Counsel, will present the committee this morning with a brief overview. Both of them will present you with an overview of their roles. This committee has a subcommittee on agenda and procedures, which has just met, and we took a little more time than normal, so that's why we're a little later starting this morning with this meeting. But we do have a list of topics that we'll be putting before you soon, so you can have a look at those. They will form the basis of our meetings in the weeks ahead. And the purpose, the role of the Agenda and Procedures Subcommittee, or the Subcommittee on Agenda and Procedures, is to propose witnesses to be called, to assist in finalizing reports of this committee, to review sensitive documents, and to monitor the progress of the committee work and other such responsibilities as deemed necessary. It is made up of the chair, myself, the vice chair, Mr. Rankin, and a member of the third party, Mr. Wilson. And we do meet in camera at the call of the chair, and it's usually on the first Wednesday of the month. Following a typical witness presentation, we will have an opportunity to open the floor to questions, beginning with the official opposition, followed by the NDP party, and ending with the government, allowing 20 minutes for each caucus. The process is repeated for a second round of questioning with a lesser time allotted, depending on how much time is left, and we ensure there's it's equitable in terms of how much time for each party. Please keep in mind that when you are directing questions, that you direct them through myself as the chair, much the same as we do when the legislature is in session, through the speaker. Please also ensure that you have sufficient copies of motions or any documents that you may wish to table during a meeting. A note on in-camera briefings. Departments and agencies are to submit 1 week in advance of a meeting an action plan on the implementation of the recommendations contained within the Auditor General reports. An in-camera briefing will be held in chapters contained within these reports and are scheduled for a half hour at the end of a regularly scheduled meeting. The Auditor General and his staff present a briefing on the status of the recommendations contained in the action plan, and the members can ask questions if they choose. This process enables the members and researchers time to plan questions and to familiarize themselves further with the issues, and allows the Auditor General and staff freedom to express areas of concern beyond what is written in the actual report. And when I speak of reports, the most recent report was in the fall of 2013. There is no formal question allotment during these sessions. A note on the Auditor General's reports. When the Auditor General tables his annual report with the House of Assembly, he and his staff will meet with the Standing Committee on Public Accounts in camera, 1 week followed by a public meeting the following week. This process varies slightly from the in-camera briefing session on action plan recommendations, whereby the action plans are on the Auditor General report chapters and the witnesses that are called in to speak on a particular chapter. The annual report of the Auditor General is on the entire report. So with that, I think we can get down to business, and you will have a copy of the list of topics and witnesses. This was put forward from the subcommittee meeting just held, and I understand there's not a lot of time for you to review this list. However, if you've had a chance to look at the list and if there are no questions, could we have a motion to approve those topics so that our committee can begin to schedule them? Ms. McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move an amendment to the list and add an additional item for consideration by the committee, and that would be to invite the Nova Scotia senators to appear before the Public Accounts Committee.
Do any of the other members on the committee, does anybody have any comment on that or any input they would like to offer? Mr. McGuire.
In regards to the issue around senators, the Premier stated repeatedly he's opened to an elected Senate and that the Senate needs reform and accountability. The former Minister of Finance is well aware that of the role of this committee and that this does not fall under the mandate of this committee.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Ms. McDonald?
Thank you. I don't know. Do we need a seconder for the motion by any chance? I don't know. Just a small point.
Yes, we would, and we could put it to a vote by the committee.
I would like to speak, though, a little further to the motion. I totally understand the role of the Public Accounts Committee. The Public Accounts Committee historically operates with a fair degree of latitude. And it seems to me that if this committee were to extend an invitation, we have no power with respect to requiring members of the Senate from the province of Nova Scotia to come here. But it seems to me that this is kind of a friendly invitation to those people who, for some considerable period of time, for many of them, have been representing the interests of the province in the Senate, which we know is a body that Nova Scotians and Canadians are quite concerned about with respect to its role in our parliamentary democracy. In thinking about the work of the senators from Nova Scotia, what it is that they're doing, and what benefit that is to the province, it seems to us in the NDP caucus that when you look at the standing committees of the House, this would be the standing committee that would be most suited to issue that invitation and to see what uptake there is from our senators. As you indicated, this committee meets more than 30 times in a year. We only have on our witness list right now seven topics. We have a considerable agenda to fill, and this is something that I would see as a process that would take some period of time. It would require the committee writing a letter to the individual senators, and I think there are currently about eight that are actually active. I haven't retired. So, you know, it is in that light that I would say we are a body very appropriately suited to invite the senators from the province to appear here and to give us an opportunity to hear from them with respect to the work we do. And it's not necessarily the members of this committee that will hear this alone. What that will do is it will allow the people of the province to assess the work that is being done by the Senate, members of the Senate from the province, and the financial or other impact that it has on our province.
Thank you, Ms. McDonald. Mr. Wilson, did you have a comment? Mr. Wilson.
I'd just like to second the motion. I should have done that earlier.
And just for clarification, I will catch on to some of the finer points of running these meetings, but a seconder is actually not required. But because there is a motion put forth to add to the list of topics, the topic of calling upon the Nova Scotia senators to appear before the committee, I will put that before a vote of the committee at this time. Mr. McGuire.
As I stated earlier, the Premier has said that he's open to an elected Senate, and we understand that the Senate needs reform and accountability. the former Minister of Finance is aware that this does fall outside the mandate. We want a committee that is effective and does not waste taxpayers' time or money. And so I, too, suggest that we bring it to a vote.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. McGuire. And with that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? The vote, the motion is defeated. Since that motion is defeated, we still do have the list of topics from the subcommittee meeting this morning. Could I have a motion for approval of those topics?
I would make
Ms. McDonald?
A motion to accept the topics and the witnesses in front of us.
The motion is before the committee. All those in favor? The motion is passed. We have a list of topics and witnesses approved. With that, I will now ask Mr. Jacques Lapointe to present a brief overview of his role within the committee, followed by Mr. Gordon Hebb. Mr. Lapointe.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be happy to provide a few comments about my office and our relationship to the committee. We've also distributed a little card that we produced that provides, it condenses a lot of some basic information about the office, including our role and the priorities that we follow in doing our work, so you might find it helpful as well. Now, first of all, you should know that my office is created by and regulated by legislation as the Auditor General Act. This legislation has a long history, but was substantially rewritten in 2010. The Act establishes the powers, the mandate, and the responsibilities of the Auditor General, and it also sets out the relationship with this committee. Now, under the Act, the Auditor General is an officer of the legislature. The AG serves the House and is independent of the government and independent of the administration of government. The Auditor General provides assurance to the House on the expenditures of public funds. Now, that is a very broad mandate. It is accomplished primarily by conducting two kinds of audits or reviews. Financial audits are reviews of government financial reports of various kinds, including some aspects of the budget, and performance audits of departmental and agency programs and processes. The results of these audits are presented to the House in the reports of the Auditor General. The results of financial audit work are reported once a year. That's the report that you will receive from us next Wednesday. And actually, I should mention that in terms of the process, you will receive them the day before. We will be tabling the report officially with the Speaker on Tuesday afternoon for his convenience. That means that we can make it available. So we will distribute it to the members of this committee on a Tuesday afternoon, which gives you a little bit of time to look at it before the meetings, because on the Wednesday morning we will be doing a combined meeting of one, the in-camera session, in which we present it to you and informally discuss it and answer your questions, but that will be followed immediately by the public hearing in which the cameras are on and you ask meeting questions in public, but it doesn't leave a lot of time for you to prepare, so we'll give it to you the day before and you and your researchers can look at it then. Now, the performance audits, on the other hand, are included in two reports, and these are issued approximately in May and November of every year, with several chapters in each one. The focus of the annual financial report is to discuss my opinions on the annual financial statements, on the budget's revenue estimates, and on a small number of agency financial statements that we look at as well. You'll find other financial information in the report also, but the focus of the performance audit reports in May and November is to identify weaknesses in government programs and processes, and more importantly, to recommend improvements to them. Now, while we provide these reports to the entire House, we can't practically deal directly with the whole House. So instead, we deal with this committee as our link to the House. So we provide the Public Accounts Committee with our reports. We review them with you in camera. And then we discuss them with you in a public session in which, I must say, I'm very pleased to be a witness and to take your questions. We do more than that, however, and a number of provisions are set out in Section 17 and 22 of the Auditor General Act. Either the Auditor General or one of our senior management will attend every Public Accounts Committee meeting, and we are there in our capacity as your expert advisors. We also attend your subcommittee meetings to assist you in planning your sessions. So we assist and advise the Public Accounts Committee, and that's our role. As part of our accountability to the House, we also provide the Public Accounts Committee with the Office's annual business plan and with the Office's annual performance report on that plan so that you are fully informed of our activities and are able to measure, you know, our performance in how we feel we do. The office is also audited. I have been asked the question, who audits the auditors? Well, that's a small local firm. And we prepare annual financial statements. And these are audited by the external advisor who is appointed by the speaker. The financial statements and the auditor's report are then presented to the speaker and to the Public Accounts Committee, so that you have quite a range of information coming from us so that you can see what we do. Now, in the final part of this relationship, my office will consider any request made by the Public Accounts Committee to examine or audit any matter. And we have received such requests. The decision on whether to accept a request or not will depend on the individual circumstance. So we can't prejudge whether, you know, what the reaction will be. It will depend. Now, in this role with the Public Accounts Committee, we work to help the committee to hold the public, the government to account and to improve the operations of the public service. So that's basically our role with the and our relationship in a nutshell. We also have, you should know, a website. It's oag-ns.ca, which, if you want it, has an awful lot more information on the office, including, you know, reports going a long way back. I would like to mention one more thing before I answer any questions you may have, is that, you know, the next week, next week's meeting will be my last meeting with the committee, as I'll be retiring a couple of days later. And Alan Horgan, the Deputy Auditor General, who's beside me, will be acting and will just take over what I've been doing. So you can always, we're always available to you, and we take your calls, so you'll be able to call me or call Alan with anything you may want to discuss at any time. So that should be it, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaPointe, and I know we'll have another chance to do this, but we've, I think any of the members on the committee who've sat here before certainly appreciated working with you and appreciate all your efforts on behalf of the people of the province, so thank you. I would like to give an opportunity for Mr. Gordon Hebb to give us some background on his role for this committee. Mr. Hebb.
Like the Auditor General, either I or one of the other legislative council will attend all your meetings and those of the subcommittee. Our basic role is to provide legal and procedural advice to the chair, to the committee, and to the staff of the committee. Included in that, which is rather rare, if the committee were to decide to subpoena somebody, we would prepare the subpoena for the committee. Aside from that, we're certainly available to give general advice to the individual members of the committee and to the caucus staff, including assistance in preparing motions that people may wish to present to the committee if such help is desired. That's our basic role, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hebb. There is one item that I will mention, and that is because we have a lot of new members on the committee, there is an opportunity for us to have a workshop with the Canadian Comprehensive Audit Foundation. They've been here before.
I think it would be helpful for all of us, even people who have been on the committee before. They can give us some insight into how other committees, the jurisdiction they cover is across the country, but I know I think they are even helping out in other parts of the world with these types of committees in areas where new democracies are being set up. It's something I would recommend. It's something I'm going to aim to attend myself, and that's something that perhaps you'll see coming in by email sometime in the near future. So I just wanted to mention that. With that, our next meeting is next Wednesday, January the 22nd, and unless there is any other business anybody wishes to put before the committee, may we have a motion to adjourn? There's a motion to adjourn. All those... Mr. Horn. Oh, okay. Okay. So there is a motion to adjourn. All those in favor? The meeting is adjourned.